right. If we go to facts brackets 1D for the lower L and just review these four particular ones, I think that will do. So let's look at number one. So number one, Patrick, is what?
Founding fathers signed Declaration of Independence in 1776 A.D.
Okay, wonderful. What's the so what on that? Why are we so focused on this event? Oh my gosh, what are we studying this year? Nemo, what's the so what?
The birth of the greatest nation the world has ever known.
And there we go. And the one that we are studying in particular this year, too, right? So, the freest country in the history of the world, the greatest country in a historical sense, and I think you can argue in every other sense, too. Militarily, economically, and all of those other things. So, okay. Excellent. So now here's a great contrast, isn't it? Right? Because number two, who, what, where, when? And then maybe more than that. And well, we have a special guest here today. Rosie, how are you? Hey, awesome. Okay. So, Rosie, are you doing this?
Sure.
Okay, great. So what's number two?
Menes and Narmer unifies Upper and Lower Egypt.
Oh, very good. Okay, when?
Circa 3000 BC.
Oh, okay, who cares?
Because this has been delayed for 5,000 years.
Yeah, that's right. That's why we care. Because we live in a world where for 5,000 years, this is the normal thing that human beings do. Would you like to live in such a society, Rosie?
No.
No, me neither. And so now let's not go back to that, shall we? Let's stick around with the good stuff. Yeah. All right. Thanks, Rosie. Hey, it's good to have you around. Okay, good. For those of you who don't know, Rosie's doing a big trip. And so she's on the road. And so she's not always able to join the live classes, but so nice to hear her voice. Okay, number three. Let's do that one. Who, what, where, when, and so what? How about that, Abby?
The Athenians and the Romans create a democracy /republic in 509 BC. So what? This is the first example of better government /freedom.
Okay, all right. So we got a lot of slashes in there. We got to put the slashes in the right place if we want to get that right. So it's a very interesting one, Abby, because you see, normally what we want to focus on here is the Athenians created a democracy / okay, we want to put the slash after that. Romans created a republic. Okay, that's where the slash goes. Because the Romans and the Athenians didn't both create the same thing, which was some kind of combination of democracy republic. Okay, so we got to make sure that we separate those out. So Athenians make democracy / Romans make a republic. And then it's 508 BC / 509 BC. Because the democracy's in 508 and the republic's in 509. Now, it's so interesting, Abby, because, and you will learn this over time as well, because there were some things that the Romans voted on, so they had neat things that were like a democracy, and there were some laws that the Athenians had that they were kind of like a republic too, so neat to learn the details over time. But right now, we want to focus on the most essential thing about Athens was the democracy. And the most essential thing about Rome was the laws, the constitution they had for making a republic. Okay? So watch out that we put the slashes in the right place. Okay, four, last one. Who, what, when, where, and so what? All right, you've gone already, Abby. We got to put the rest of these characters here on the spot. Okay, Jack, what's the who, what, where for number four?
I didn't have that.
Well, it doesn't. What do you mean you didn't have it? You didn't have the sheet?
No.
You're not allowed to say that you don't have the facts now, Jack. This is how many weeks into our story is this? We've practiced this one about 100 times. So if it is the case,
that is actually the only one that wasn't on my sheet.
What?
It wasn't on my sheet when I printed it out.
Okay, well, get that sorted out technically. and get to it here, because you don't want to be falling behind at this stage. Dana, go ahead.
Jesus Christ was born in the Roman Empire, circa 4 BC.
Okay, and our so what is?
That our calendar is the way it is, and it is the birth of one of the most important religions.
Yes, indeed. Okay, great. So, that's looking good so far, and indeed today, our entire story relies on this fact. Our entire story today relies on this fact, because we are going to be talking about Christianity in Europe and something that happened in the story of Christianity, which is deeply important to the shape of the world that we live in. Whether you're Christian or not, it's a very important story to the shape of the world. And that story is, let's put this away now. What's the best way to do that? Oh, let's put this away. The story is, well, the title page said, the breakup of Christianity. So, let's see here. I'm going to minimize that as well. All right, so now we're getting to this interesting part of the story, and I'm taking you kind of back to the map again to get prepared for this breakup. Nemo, put your hand down unless you have a question that's pressing at this very moment. Okay, so remember what we were talking about yesterday was... Or not yesterday, because it was Veterans Day. Hopefully you had a moment to think about that and think about how American soldiers have done amazing things to help the world, and that it's always nice if you can meet one and say thank you for the amazing work that they have done. And so that's what Veterans Day is for, to honor those who have done so much. And so that was good, and now we're back after a day's break. And we are here to look at the situation in Europe where there was a chance that maybe Europe was going to come back together again, right? So remember that Spain had come together because of the marriage of these two characters here. One of them a little bit unimpressed by the other, but anyway. Right? They were, what are the two characters? Whose marriage it's got to be one of the most important marriages in all of history. Abby, go ahead.
Ferdinand and Isabella.
Okay, Ferdinand of?
Of Aragon.
Good. And Isabella of?
Castile.
Good. Excellent. All right. Ferdinand of Aragon, Isabella of Castile. So they get married, and that creates Spain. All right, that's really important, and it shows us how Europe was possibly going to become united. The technique was, if you didn't want to have wars, united by conquest, the technique was to be united by marriage. Did that mean that the husband and wife loved each other? Back then, sadly, no. And we don't see any love on Isabella's face here. She's kind of pursing her lips and thinking, I married this guy? So, anyway, because here the marriage was to make a country. The marriage was for land and power. So, well, if that's your priority, then that's what you got to do. They still had children, and those children are important to our story because one of their daughters, Joanna of Castile, where's my paintbrush there? Yeah, one of their daughters, Joanna of Castile, married the heir of Austria. What family did he belong to again? Who were those guys that were in charge of Austria? Famous for their hamburgers? Nemo?
Habsburgers.
Oh, yeah, Habsburgers. Sorry. Yes, right, not hamburgers. Habsburgers. Right. Okay, so the Habsburgs are over there. And they've got all of this land. So I'm going to go ahead and make it all one color again to remind you. Oops, mistake. Okay, I'm going to make all this green stuff the same color because now it's all in the same family. We can make it all green or the orange, doesn't matter. So now all this is in the same family because Joanna of Castile, one of the daughters of Ferdinand and Isabel, is married to the ruler of Austria. And then another daughter of Ferdinand and Isabella, Catherine of Aragon, is going to get married to the King of England. Whoa, look at that. So now we get to that situation where we ended up last time, right? We ended up with something that Mr. Powell jokingly calls... Where's Henry? Henry knows the name. Go ahead, Henry. What's the name for this? Well, you had it last time. Where's the sound? Did you forget? Oh, something happened there. Okay. Nemo, what is it?
I raised my hand by accident.
Okay. Oh, my gosh. All right. What's this called? It's a very tasty situation. Yes, the Habsburg sandwich. Okay, good. Thank you. The Habsburg sandwich with some French, with France in the middle. Okay. All right. So now we know that this is not going to work out because France is a country that does not like to be ruled by other people. They're going to be independent. Yes, so French fries in a sandwich can sometimes be very tasty, by the way. Yes, but anyway, we're not going to do that. So France is in the middle. They don't want to be. They're going to fight against these other people. As it turns out, there's going to be other people fighting against the Habsburgs too. So let's find out what that situation is. So what it has to do with is the story of Christianity. And this argument now that's going to happen in our story, not long after Christopher Columbus, is not between rulers, but it's between the people of Europe and what they think the way that Christianity, what Christianity really is. And so we know that by 1492, they pretty much had all agreed. Now, so people in Spain, people in Portugal, people in England, people in France, people in Germany and Italy, they all agreed. If you want to be a Christian, who's the leader? What does it mean to be a part of this organized group that calls themselves Christians? Who's the leader? Somebody in Rome. Jeremy, do you know?
No.
Oh, okay. So, Abby?
The Pope.
Okay, the Papa. Very good. Papa in Latin means father. So he is the leader, the father of the family of Christianity of all of Europe. Okay, so by 1492, the time of Columbus, all of these people, they're living in separate countries. And I'm going to go ahead and take away all these colors that I put there and just kind of take us back to the separate countries. All right, there we go. Ooh, I can't undo all of it. Okay, so anyway, but we have these separate peoples, but they all accept the Pope. So the Pope's over here. Let's get a nice color. Let's get black. Right, we know where Rome is, right? Rome is right here. Okay. The Pope is there, and he is the leader of Christianity, and everybody accepts that. Well, is that the way it is today? That everybody who's Christian accepts that what the Pope says is the truth of Christianity. That the Pope is the leader and everybody should do what the Pope says if you're a Christian. Is that the way that it is today? Well, maybe you guys are not too familiar with that. That's fine. Maybe if you live in a Catholic family, as it's called today, you might be more inclined to say one answer or another because you might have heard of it more. But a lot of people will not have heard of this today, which is, well, a sign of something. Today, it is not the case that people who are Christians necessarily agree with the Pope. The Pope is still a very important person in Christianity, but many of the Christians in the world do not follow the Pope. And many of them would say he's wrong about very important things, absolutely critical things, as far as they believe. Now, this is not a religion class, and this is not a class where we say that one particular belief in Christianity is right or wrong and that sort of thing. So we're not going to look at this story from that perspective. But we are going to look at the story from the perspective of, well, the world we live in. as we always look at history, that is our purpose in looking at a story about a particular religion, is what does that have to do with the world we live in? And if we look at the world we live in today, what we do see, if we're looking, if we know to look, even though, you know, you guys are young and you might not spend an awful lot of time looking, this is something that you could see. For instance, if you're driving through any big city, right, and you guys, I'm sure, know what churches look like, right? You've seen different, there's a lot of different buildings. In fact, nowadays they look so, they all look different, so it's actually kind of hard to tell. But if you go down a street where there are a lot of churches, what you'll see is the sign in front of each of the churches says something different. So if you were to notice, this would be kind of a good way to see. You know, you'll see one church, and that church will say Baptists, or Baptist Church. And you'll see another church, and that church will say Catholic Church. And you'll see another church, and that one will say Lutheran Church. And you'll see all different kinds. Depending on where you are in the United States, you'll see more of one kind or another. Depending on where you are in the world, you'll see more of one kind or another. But there are many different kinds. And that's what the Reformation, this story that we are going to look at briefly here today, is about. As far as we are concerned in the present, as students of history. For people of different beliefs, it can have a lot more meaning. It can be much more important to them than that. But for us, regardless of how we feel about it, regardless of what religion we might accept or not, right? What we can see about the world around us today is there are many different kinds of Christianity. Where did that come from? Well, it starts with a man named Martin Luther. Does that name sound familiar to anybody? Martin Luther. It should sound familiar because there's another famous person that has kind of a name like that. And some people get them confused. Oftentimes when I say Martin Luther, somebody will say, well, do you mean this? And I will say, no. So, got to be careful here. What's another name related to that, Nemo? You recognize that name?
Yes.
Okay. Who's the other person that has a very, very similar name? Oh, you muted yourself there. I don't know if you intended to. Let me unmute you to see if you want to answer. Do you know the other person?
I don't know. I just recognize the name Martin Luther.
Okay, fair enough, because you've done European history with me. Okay, so Caleb, please tell me, who is this other person that's famous too?
Martin Luther King.
Martin Luther King,
Junior.
And yeah, I think Junior is also at the end of the name there, right? Yeah, so Americans especially will know the name Martin Luther King Jr. So Martin Luther King Jr. is an important person in American history. So we might get a chance to talk about what he said as well in this class, but he's named after the original. So his name comes from somebody else, whose name was Martin Luther. Martin Luther was a monk living in Germany in the year 1517, and he did something very unusual for a person of 1517. In 1517, Martin Luther said, "I disagree with the Pope." Dum, dum, dum. That is very ominous right there. I disagree with the Pope. Now, in 1517, people didn't say that. That was just not something you were supposed to say. So, what did he disagree? Well, the Reformation is kind of a complicated story. And in American history, it's not important for us to worry about what the disagreement was about. Because it's kind of a technicality in religion. And that is going further into the story than we need to. So, we're not going to worry so much about what the disagreement was about. But we are going to worry about, and this is what matters the most for history, that there was a disagreement. Okay, so we can look at lots of people in history and we can say France and England were worst enemies forever. Why? You know, we can know some reasons and not all the reasons. We know that Spain and Portugal didn't want to be the same country, or Portugal didn't want to be part of Spain. We might not know all the reasons, but we know that they didn't. And the same thing goes here. We might not understand exactly why Martin Luther, as a Christian monk, is what he was, would be upset with the Pope and say, I disagree with you. But what was most important about this was that in Christianity, this didn't happen. You weren't allowed to constantly say to other people in Europe, the Pope is wrong. The Pope is wrong. And Martin Luther did that. Now, I can't remember exactly where he was in Germany, but I'm going to give you an approximate spot. He was somewhere up in here. I can't remember the exact spot, but anyway, it's a town called Wittenberg, and I forget the exact location. So, but it's actually important that he was not... I'm going to go ahead and put the green back on here. It's actually important that Martin Luther was not in the green part. Let's remind ourselves again, what is the difference between the yellow part and the green part, and why would that probably matter in our story? Why did Mr. Powell put yellow and green, even though it's all the Holy Roman Empire? Anna says my audio cut out, so I will repeat the question. Why did Mr. Powell put yellow and green on the map instead of just one color? All right, Abby, help us out.
Because the green are the Habsburgs.
Right, the green are the Habsburgs. And what's their job?
I don't know their job, actually.
Oh, okay. Well, I put them there because they are the rulers, which makes them what?
Makes them the most powerful?
Well, okay, but I'm looking for titles. They are the kings of Germany, and therefore they are also the...
emperors.
Holy Roman emperors, right. But the yellow is parts of the Holy Roman Empire that they don't control. So this turns out to be really interesting, because if we've got the Pope down here, I guess we're going to have to put him down here. All right, there's our Pope. And over here is Martin Luther on our separate black dots, right? So Martin Luther is in a different part of the empire, not controlled by the emperor. And so that's why I put the black dots, for those of you who were confused. And Martin Luther disagrees with the Pope. In fact, he writes out this very long explanation. I disagree with the Pope about 95 different things. So if you ever thought you ever disagreed with somebody, you can see how many times you disagree with your parents over something. I want to see if you can come up with 95 reasons. So Martin Luther said, I disagree with the Pope over 95 different things. And he called those those are known as the 95 Theses. Some of you will remember the 95 Theses, which means 95 different ideas. And that became very famous. And different people around this territory agreed with him. And more of them over time agreed with him. And the Pope was getting really angry. Who's this character to disagree with me? I'm the leader of all of Christianity. And who are these people to join him? So the Pope called on the emperor and he said, get over there and deal with this guy. Stop him from breaking up my power. I am the leader of Christianity. Stop Martin Luther from spreading these wrong ideas. Now, the emperor wanted to, but how much territory does the emperor have? Now, as it turns out, he did have this orange stuff too now. So he's pretty powerful. But what did he not have? Is the really crucial thing, which was going to matter for our story. What did the emperor not have? He had the green stuff, but Abby, he did not have...
the yellow stuff.
The yellow stuff. Right, so a lot of the lords inside the yellow territory who were opposed to the emperor now decided they're also opposed to the Pope. They're going to agree with Martin Luther. And they're going to make an alliance between them to protect themselves against the Pope and the Emperor. And the Alliance has a nice, fun name. So a lot of German history has funny names. The Alliance was called the Schmalkaldic League. So I'll type that one up. Well, I can put it there, right there on the map for you. Why not? Because it was made in a place called Schmalkalden. Schmalkaldic League. There we go. So Martin Luther gets this group of helpers called the Schmalkaldic League, and they protected him against the emperor and the pope, and there was actually a war. Because the pope and the emperor did not want Europe to have different versions of Christianity. They attacked with the emperor's army, and there was a war called the Schmalkaldic War. And so they fought this war, and the emperor could not win. So at the end of it, in 1555, they made a bargain, which is very important for history. Very important turning point for history. 1555. The bargain was called the Peace of Augsburg, and they said something in a language that hopefully you guys will recognize. This is what they said. Listen to see if you can catch the language. Cuius regio, eius religio. Sounds like English, doesn't it? No, it doesn't. Patrick, what language do you think that is?
Latin.
Latin. Very good guess. Indeed. So anybody who was educated would do things in Latin. If you wanted to have a treaty, you would do it in Latin. So I'm going to go ahead and write this up. Cuius regio, eius religio. All right, this is the Latin phrase. And some of my veterans here in the class might be able to tell the other students what that meant. We're almost done for today, by the way. A couple minutes over, but that's all right. Does anybody from among my veterans here remember? Cuius regio, eius, a new rule for European society. Okay, I'll help you. The rule is the ruler, the regio, chooses the religio, which of course is what? That one, that word is almost the same as the modern word, right? What would it be in English, guys? Take that and just add a letter to it, right, Dana? What is it?
Religion.
Religion, right? The ruler chooses the religion. So now think about that. I want to come back on Monday and have a little bit of a discussion about that, because what does that mean? Think about that phrase. The ruler chooses the religion. What it means is the ruler gets to decide what his religion is. But when he makes that decision, what else happens? Very important. Something else happens. If the ruler chooses the religion, it's not just the ruler chooses his own religion. What does that mean? The ruler chooses the religion. Sigourney?
Everyone else has to choose his religion.
You used the wrong word there, Sigourney. You're on the right track, but you used the word choose. Can you try that again? What would be another way to put that more correctly?
They have to have it.
Ah, anybody in his land is going to have to go along with it. All right, so that is a very important fact here. So we're going to see that, naturally, if rulers and religions go together, then we have a big problem. Right? Because rulers, they're nothing but a bunch of manes and armors. Right? So when your parents are being really bossy, you can say, "You're nothing but a menace and armor." No, don't say that Mr. Powell said that. But don't be such a menace and armor, Dad. So anyway, right? But when so rulers get to tell you what to do. But wait a minute. They get to tell you what to do about the religion? Okay. Now in America, does anybody get to tell you what your religion is supposed to be? Absolutely not. Thanks to who, by the way? Anybody want to make a guess? That's not so hard. We got our anchor facts. Thanks to who, Dana? Founding fathers, absolutely. Thomas Jefferson, James Madison, they believed in freedom of religion, among other freedoms as well. And one of the reasons why was they looked at Europe and they said, we don't want no more Schmalkaldic wars. We don't want more of that. America is going to be a better place than that. Okay, so we'll come back to this. We're not done with the Reformation because, as it turns out, Martin Luther was not the only person who disagreed with the Pope. He kind of started a chain reaction. Pretty soon, lots of people were disagreeing with the Pope. And they were thinking, yeah, that's right, cuius regio? Well, every regio was thinking, maybe I should have my own religio. So, yeah, we're going to see that that's actually what happened. Pretty soon, everything is kind of mixed up. So we'll get to the King of England and his story. We'll get to the King of France. We'll get to the rulers of Netherlands and Switzerland. And really quickly kind of go through the different versions here that kind of broke up. So pretty soon, as I predicted or previewed, you know, I was helping you to kind of anticipate this. Pretty soon, different countries going out into the world, they also stand for different versions of Christianity. Okay? So we're going to get to that on Monday. All right, but that's about all we have time for. Put your hand up or keep your hand up if you still have a pressing question for today. And so, Dana may have one. So, Dana, go ahead.
Now, that's why Martin disagreed with the Pope, because he chose his religion and he didn't want to have that religion. Right.
True enough. Yes, he disagreed with the Pope. Yes. Okay. So, now, all right, so that's going to be it for today. Thank you, everybody. We are working our way through the breakup of European Christianity. We'll finish that next week. That's going to be the last topic for this changing of the world from the one Christopher Columbus lived, where everybody's in Europe, everybody's following the Pope, into the world that we live in, where Europeans are living all over the world, and they follow different kinds of Christianity. Huh? It's a very different world. We're getting there. Okay, thanks everybody. Bye for now.